Praise the Lord, brothers and sisters. I greet you again this morning in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I want to continue with what we left yesterday. I just want to start the scripture of Romans 10, because we may concentrate on that this morning. Verse 2 of chapter 10 of Romans, Paul says, "For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they being ignorant of God's righteousness," bring about to establish their own righteousness. "But I submit themselves unto the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth." Now, you see, we're told that they had a zeal. And as we heard there in as the beginning in Matthew 5, if the righteousness does not exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. When Christ was talking about that, he actually was talking about, you know, something that the Pharisees and the scribes upheld in high esteem. They had so much dedication, as they would, as Paul says, they had so much zeal for what they believed it was. And as much as it was done like that, it was almost unchallengeable. But God, Christ compared that. It was by observing that law. And Christ says, "If you are our righteous, that's what exceeds theirs. We shall not wise enter the kingdom of heaven." Now, here Paul speaks about this zeal they had of God, but had no knowledge. And we know that we also live in a time and day when, my God, people have put so much effort in the outwardness show. Let me use this example. I've been seeing in social media, there are people we call in our country celebrities. And they are comedians, or they are actors, or they are singers, or they are gospel artists. Those kind of persons. You know, because they are public figures. Now, in their social pages, they will try to show off a lifestyle that is more unreal. But they want to make it look so real, which in actual fact, or the actual ground, on the ground, we could say that is not where they are living. What am I trying to say? That, you know, sometimes people have a tendency of trying to show a righteousness and think that what they are trying to put effort in is not going to please God. What they are trying to show a brother or a sister or a fellow minister or whoever else is what is going to please God. But here we are told about the righteousness that is of Christ through faith. The Israelites, that zeal they had, lacked knowledge. I saw somebody in the streets of one of the cities in Kampala or so. where he and his members are coming, cutting portraits, and they are so zealous. They're cutting portraits of Brother Branham's picture. And as they preach, they're lifting the portrait up and telling people, this is the prophet of our day, this is the prophet. You must believe it is a prophet you must listen to. You see, and they're so zealous in that what they're doing. He's so committed in it. But the Bible is talking about lack of knowledge. It is an effort, a good effort for sure. But it does not have the knowledge. Now, someone is saying, Paul speaks in this part of the scriptures in the book of Romans. For Christ is the end of the law of righteousness to everyone that believeth. Now, let's look at this belief. Verse 5, for Moses described the righteousness, which is of the law, that the man which doeth them, doeth those things, shall live by them. Verse 6 is where I want to speak so much. Listen. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from heaven. Or who shall descend in the deep? That is to bring Christ up again from the dead. But what says it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. In other words, it's not like the word of God. It's going to be brought in by some kind of strange and strong, a critical effort of some sort, or I can put it. No, the portrayal of showing off some great thing of some kind that is undescribable by human knowledge. No. The Bible says it is in thy, even in thy mouth and in thine heart. Listen to that. And says what? Even the word of faith which we preach. You know, sometimes, not even sometimes, but most of the time, the preaching of the gospel looks so simple. And so very, very simple that much of the time we tend to go over it. I'll come to that one later. But for thou, let us listen to this. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, but remember this, he said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, the Lord Jesus, I shall believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, look again. Remember, we are talking about being perfect. The whole thing must start from the heart. So that whatever is coming out of the mouth must have proceeded from the heart. So whatever we are confessing is not hypocritical. If it doesn't come from the heart, it becomes hypocritical. It must be in agreement with our conscience. It must be in agreement with what is in our hearts. It must be something you can stand and die for. It must be something that you, even yourself, you're so honest and sincere about it. But but as you're talking, you are not acting, you are not pretending, you are not trying to make a show off. You are speaking that which is in your heart. Now, in the book of, just for a moment, it is Matthew 15, we hear Christ rebuking the Pharisees, okay, that whatever they give, whatever they teach and preach, is nothing but the doctrines of men, because they speak with their mouths, but their hearts are far off from God. Verse 8 of 15, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their heart, these people draweth nigh unto me with their mouth, and honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. The lips say, but the heart, is saying something different. God have mercy on us, that we may come down to the sincerity and honesty of our heart. Because Christ, God, is a discerner of our hearts, the intents and thoughts that are in us are before our living God. And I've always said this. Much of what is in the world today, as I say, is a show off. And Christ spoke about it. We're not here for a show off. We're here to get the reality of what God has said. That's why, let me continue a bit here. This is what? That if thou shalt confess thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Before it has even come out to the mouth, the heart must believe. It is to be a spiritual conviction, not mental. And with the mouth, after it has been believed, the mouth can give the confession, which now brings salvation. Now you may wonder why that we have so many cold and nominal and intellectual Christians. It's because the heart has not believed, the heart has not received this word with conviction. And for the Bible says, for the scripture says, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. What an assurance. Whoever believes shall not be ashamed. And for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. It now levelizes everybody. That faith levelizes everybody. That believes brings us into one level of faith and understanding of God. And now our confession makes sense. Our confession cannot bring an embarrassment. It cannot bring reproach. It cannot bring shame. But what it will do, it will glorify, it will magnify, it will exalt our God. It will bring fruits meant for repentance. It will bring an outcome that will affect even those living with us and living around us. It will bring an outcome that whether it's agreed on or not agreed on, Lord, have mercy. It will not be challengeable. It will be like, you know, what, let me school this. So he says, what Peter had when he got that which came from his heart, when he met Christ the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came upon him and he was transformed, he spoke of something. And from there on, whatever came out of him could not be challenged, even if they denied it, but they could not challenge it. And deep in them, also in their hearts, they knew that what Peter had done was true. So even if they pursued and they pursued them for persecution and they want to stop them, it was because of their own selfish interest, but they knew it was true. And also, and that's why the Bible spoke that the scripture saying, whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be ashamed. Of course, he can be, because God cannot allow him to be ashamed, because he has come to him in sincerity and truth. He has come to him without acting up, without pretending, without showing off. Verse 14. Sorry, my first verse 12. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, who is calling upon the name of the Lord? That is the one whose heart has believed. And it gives a confession from the heart. So that whatever he is saying is of hope, is convicting, is full of salted or seasoned with salt. It is clear. And whenever it is going, it is carrying life and power. May the Lord bless you. Have a blessed day. In Jesus' name, amen.